Welcome to the New Reality edition of Bite Marks Cafe right here on Hawaii Public Radio, HBR1, where we serve you the first bite of today's science, technology, and innovation. I'm Bert Lum, and on today's show, we have with us Paul Apau. He's the Chief Strategy Officer, and we've got Dominique Gary. He's the Chief Technology Officer from Malama Carbon, and we're going to be talking about how they use Web3 technology like blockchain to help reduce carbon in our environment. And I want to welcome you both, Paul and Dominique, to Bite Marks Cafe.
Thanks for having us.
Hey, Bert, thanks for having us.
Yeah, it's great. And, you know, Paul, you know, you and I kind of got introduced by Ellen Ng. And Ellen, I know Ellen from her days at HTDC and Inoa AI. And I think she's got a bunch of events coming up, and we'll talk a little bit about that later on. But she was kind of describing your company, and I wanted to give you a chance to talk a little bit about what is it that you, what is your background, and how did you kind of get involved with Malama Carbon?
So, you know, I'm a farmer. I'm a macadamia farmer on
okay.
Maui.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I got involved in this project, with this idea of trying to incentivize people to put carbon in the ground. As a farmer, carbon is a key component to our farming practices and in general to the outcome of our farming efforts throughout the year. Can be directly related to how much carbon is in the ground. So that's kind of how I got into it. I met some guys that were, you know, thinking the same things and getting into blockchain technology and wanting to track carbon sequestration and the creation of carbon credits in a little bit different way. And so that's kind of how I jumped in with these guys.
Oh, cool. And Dominique, I mean, what is your kind of role and entry into Malama Carbon?
Oh, thank you so much for asking, for having me. So I am the CTO, which is the Chief Technology Officer.
Mm-hmm.
And what I want to do is I want to make sure that when we're working on the sequestration, anything that we're doing that is helping in a positive manner to sequester carbon, we want to show that clearly and transparently using blockchain technology. So I got into the Malama project because of my overall knowledge of the blockchain and because I had some friends who lived in Maui and came with an interesting solution. You know, how can we make it easier and more transparent to sequester carbon?
Great. And Dominique, you guys are kind of distributed all over the place, right? So
Yes. Where
do you actually reside, Dominique?
You know what? I actually reside in Dallas, Texas.
Okay. That's great. And of course, Paul is on Maui. Now, Paul, you said something that's I want to have you kind of unpack a little bit. So you said you want to put carbon in the ground. And what is this process in the environment? Are you helping to remove carbon from the, let's say, CO2? Or is it more direct to get carbon in the ground? And what do you mean by getting carbon in the ground? Paul, you still there?
Yeah, I'm here. Sorry. Our project revolves around creating biochar, taking agricultural waste, wood waste, and converting into a product called biochar made through a process of pyrolysis, and then sequestering that carbon into the ground for long-term storage, mostly to benefit and stabilize the ground through building soil, right? So putting carbon in the ground actually helps to provide a space for microbes to reproduce where they can break down carbon, they can feed plants, they can turn dirt, which is silt, sand, and clay, different sizes of stone, into soil for which plants can grow in. Carbon and soil biochar and soil have the ability to not only sequester water and nitrogen, from the atmosphere, but it also has the ability to sequester more carbon. So the way we view it at Malama Carbon is we have issues with global warming, with you know, changing weather patterns, largely due to not only the production of fossil fuels, but industrialized agriculture that is managed to, you know, kill one third of the Earth's topsoil so that our Earth no longer has the ability to sequester water. So all that water is in the atmosphere right now and is raining down on us at a rate like no other time in our recent history, flooding southern states and causing streams and rivers to overflow, and you know, a lot of damage. So putting carbon back in the ground is actually beneficial to stabilizing our weather patterns.
And so does the carbon help to retain the water in the ground?
It does, because the microbes that are housed within carbon actually help to create soil, right? Dirt, which is silt, sand, and clay, does not have the ability to hold water at the same rate that soil does, right? What is soil? Soil is dirt with life in it. So when we restore the life in our soils, well, in our dirt creating soils, then now we have the ability to sequester carbon, we have the ability to sequester water, and we're pulling that water out of the atmosphere and returning it back into the ground where it has been for the last, you know, million years.
No, that's interesting. So Malama Carbon, and we'll get into this in a short bit, has technology, but you also are kind of a biochar, a production facility as well. Why don't we do this? We'll get into more about what is Malama Carbon do, and some of the technology that you are sort of at your disposal to achieve that. We'll hold that thought. We'll be right back at this short break to continue our conversation with Paul Appal. He's a Chief Strategy Officer, and Dominique Gary, Chief Technology Officer at Malama Carbon. This is Bite Marks Cafe.
Support for Bite Marks Cafe comes from the HPR Local Talk Show Fund, which helps Hawaii Public Radio sustain and grow its locally produced talk shows. Mahalo to contributors Ulupono Initiative and Ruby Tuesday Hawaii.
Welcome back. This is Bite Marks Cafe right here on Hawaii Public Radio, HPR 1. I'm Bert Lam, and if you're just joining us, we're talking to Paul Appal. He's a Chief Strategy Officer, and Dominique Gary, Chief Technology Officer at Malama Carbon. And right before the break, Paul, you were talking about, you know, the getting more carbon in the ground with the intent to have it become better soil that is retaining water. I guess, can you describe the main function of what Malama Carbon does? Are you guys a biochar company, and, you know, getting sort of the biochar production going so that it is more available through your distribution network to farmers on Maui, as well as the rest of the world? I mean, so what is the main delivery or service that Malama Carbon provides?
Yeah, so I think it's twofold. The first one is the state of Hawaii has made a promise to itself to become carbon neutral by 2045. You know, what their plan is to get there is really not well known. And so what we're trying to do is create Hawaii's first carbon market. We are in the durable carbon space, which also includes stuff like enhanced rock weathering, where we are going to incentivize people to create biochar and then to distribute it to, you know, landowners who are looking to, you know, restore their project. Maybe it was sugarcane or pineapple for the last couple hundred years, and they're wanting to remove residual toxins, build back soil. so that they can support different types of agricultural crops.
Mm-hmm.
And then through that process, yeah, we are creating biochar for the Hawaii market. We just took over the largest biochar production facility in the Pacific with our partners, Ag Energy Hawaii. That facility is located in Kauai High in the Big Island.
Mm-hmm.
We're looking to get that biochar facility fully operational within the next 90 days and producing roughly 12 to 16 tons of biochar a day to begin our carbon sequestration process to help build Hawaii's first carbon market and to restore soil and also provide a better farming input. So now we're talking about import substitution. Inputs for farmers are key in reducing Hawaii's overall carbon footprint.
So this is interesting. You've purchased a company, but part of your model is also getting others to produce biochar.
That's right.
So you're building a network of producers of biochar.
That's right.
Oh, okay. And then through this network, you envision more of this product getting into the ground through your network of farmers. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Oh, okay. That's,
you know, through the use of our digital, universal digital MRV,
mm-hmm.
and that's where the blockchain part comes in. This is what Dominic has been working really hard on.
Well, so that's a great way to kind of bring Dominic back into the conversation. So, Dominic, how would you describe the network of biochar producers and how the blockchain kind of fits into that model?
Well, thank you for asking. First off, I think it's important to talk about some of the things that the traditional carbon markets and things that we're entering. There's sometimes issues with double spending, and there's issues with, hey, they said that this credit was made using this and from here, but there's really no way to verify or to prove that that is how it is. You kind of have to take the word of the person providing you the credit. So here's where we saw an opportunity to make the whole system clearer and easier to access. So what that means for us is that from the pyrolysis machine, actually before that, the feedstock that we use
mm-hmm.
to create the biochar, the temperature, the longevity, the output, sensor measurements, all that will be placed on Web3, on blockchain, on a ledger, there's many ways to describe it. So this allows, I know people, we used to joke all the time about the NFTs not having, you know, any usefulness.
Mm-hmm.
But then when you come to real world assets, which we're dealing with right now, they actually provide such a way of transparency. So you can be assured that not only the process that went to make this biochar, the location, people work with, and you can assure that if you're purchasing it, you know that only one can be purchased. It's that silly NFT technology really hitting back with some heart now.
Mm-hmm. Now, this is fascinating. When you talk about the process to basically create the biochar and all the things that are required to achieve that is put into a ledger, and that's part of the blockchain. When you have a blockchain that's tied to a credit, I can see where there's a, like you said, a ledger, and there's a trace back to the process by which that was created. In a previous version without the blockchain, what does a credit really represent?
That's so great. So it's funny you say that, because sometimes there's a bit of question to what actually that credit does represent. But in our system, we want to make sure that credit represents the active process of a lovely farmer like Paul with macadamia nuts.
Mm-hmm.
It's actively creating biochar to reduce sequestration. We want that to be logged accurately, available for verification, and owned by the person that created the biochar.
Mm-hmm. So the credit is directly proportional to the amount of biochar that you're purchasing. Is that correct?
The credit is proportional to the amount of carbon created through pyrolysis. So one carbon credit equals to one ton of carbon sequestration.
Okay, and is there, where does the amount of actual biochar fit into that equation?
Oh, so that is how we create the credit. So in the credit or the carbon market,
mm-hmm.
one ton of biochar is equivalent to a credit. Now, there are some things with LCA depending on how you're using it, how you're creating. I think that might be out of scope for right now. But after you create the biochar and after we have verified that it's done by methods that are approved, then you would receive your credit depending on how much biochar you produce.
Oh, okay. So the folks that you have in your network are producing the biochar, and as a result of them producing the biochar, they have then credits, right?
And that, yes, and I want to make sure that it's understood, that represents taking green waste that would normally go back into the atmosphere and storing it in durable credit, which in this case is biochar. So that effort right there, you're sequestering carbon and you're making a difference.
Mm-hmm.
So we would like to make sure, and that's where that value of the carbon credit comes from.
Okay, and so what can the folks producing the biochar who then have the credits, how do they translate that or transfer that, or how does that become of some value?
Yeah,
they can.
We're looking to take those credits that are produced through the production of biochar and sell them to polluters who are looking to offset their company's carbon footprint.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we would be looking to sell those to like Young Brothers or Hawaiian Electric,
mm-hmm.
or ideally a polluter in the state of Hawaii, so that carbon credit can actually go towards reducing Hawaii's overall carbon footprint.
Right, because they're actually, whoever's buying, you know, have a market for the credits, right? They're buying the credits. That money goes back to the producer of the biochar.
That's right.
Ah, interesting. Okay, so I think this is a great conversation. It kind of gets into the details of your business model. And I do want to talk a little bit about, are you planning to just, you know, focus on the Hawaii market, or do you have plans to go beyond? And I want to hold that thought because I want to have you answer those questions. We'll be right back at a short break to continue our conversation with Paul Apau, Chief Strategy Officer, and Dominique Gary, Chief Technology Officer at Malama Carbon. This is Bite Marks Cafe. Welcome back. This is Bite Marks Cafe. I'm Bert Lum right here on Hawaii Public Radio, HPR1. If you're just joining us, we're talking to Paul Apau, Chief Strategy Officer, and Dominique Gary, Chief Technology Officer at Malama Carbon. And they're using blockchain to come up with a way of putting the process of creating biochar, which then helps to reduce or actually help produce carbon in the form of biochar, which then can go back into the ground. And this is a really interesting business model. And I'd like to find out, Paul, about how you plan to kind of roll this out into the Hawaii market. I mean, at what point in the stage of your business are you in terms of actually, you know, producing biochar, making the credits available, and getting in, you know, getting the land sort of prepared with more sort of biochar? At what stage is Malama Carbon at?
Yeah, so right now we're at our research and development stage.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have been producing biochar on my farm for a number of years in small quantities. And then through the acquisition of what used to be Millennium Carbon in Kauaihai on the island of Hawaii, we are in the recommissioning process at that facility to begin making biochar large scale. You know, we've been partnering with some entities here in the state of Hawaii to begin sourcing available carbon either through lease lands that they hold to farmers in the forms of agricultural waste, or for instance, like gorse, which is an invasive plant on Hawaii Island, you know, and also to assist in their, you know, native reforestation projects and the removal of invasive species. The process is pretty straightforward, but, you know, getting access through state entities, county entities, to begin converting all that biomass into biochar, and then targeting locations either on farmlands or, you know, public open spaces where we can begin putting biochar in the ground for soil and water retention, soil building and water retention, or fire risk mitigation. You know, that's kind of where we are right now, is building those processes and partnerships out, and recommissioning our biochar facility for large scale production.
And so, do you envision the primary marketplace to be Hawaii, or do you envision going beyond, you know, the shores of Hawaii into, let's say, markets on the continent?
Yeah. I mean, right now our focus is on Hawaii. You know, we're looking to get well established here in the state, but our technology, our blockchain technology, our universal digital monitoring, reporting, and verification technology can go anywhere. That's global. So we've been looking at, you know, taking that piece of tech and licensing it out to, you know, other biochar producers, suppliers, you know, other marketplaces. And we also have one of our partners in this organization is from Prince Edward Island, which is like the east coast of Canada. You know, and Print PEI is looking to, they're really interested in our technology and what biochar can do for their large farming and fishing communities. So, I mean, right now, yeah, Hawaii first, solve some problems here. And then, yeah, you know, the continent, Canada, mainland United States.
So. Dominic, I mean, how do you feel about, you know, the focus of Hawaii for Malama Carbon? When are you going to move to Hawaii?
I'm going to move to Hawaii as soon as there's an extra house for me. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off there, sir. I love it. I actually love it. There are so many things that are just special just to Hawaii. There are just the invasives, just the abundance of it, the willingness and the knowledge of the local Hawaiians on how to work with the land and successful processes that have been working for thousands of years. I believe that on the mainland, that has, if it ever was there, it's been lost and it's been replaced with chemicals. So I just think that if you're going to do something, set yourself up for success in a place that is already close to the ground, close to the island. So I think it's a great idea, and I think it's actually perfectly suited for what we're doing.
Wow, that's exciting. Now, Paul, you have a couple of upcoming events that I think will help to further, you know, share the story about Malama Carbon. What is this event coming up on August 12th called Stand With Crypto?
Yeah, that's a good one. So Stand With Crypto is a nationwide organization who is starting a new chapter here in, you know, in Hawaii. Ellen, who brought us together for this call, is going to be this chapter's president. That's August 12th at 5:30 p.m. We'll be talking about Web3 and blockchain and crypto in that space, and sharing a little bit about the Malama project, Malama Carbon.
Yeah, no, that's great. And you're going to be a part of a fireside chat with Ellen. And then 1 month later, right, 1 month later, there's the Pacific Blockchain Summit on September 12th. And are you and Dominique going to be both here, or is the whole company going to be here? How are you guys participating in this distributed fashion that you currently work in?
Yeah, no, our whole team will be here, and we'll have other, outside members of our organization who are deeply entrenched into blockchain and Web3. Will be joining us as well. We'll be there talking about sustainability and regenerative projects, real world assets at that summit. In support of developing more blockchain projects here in the state of Hawaii. I know that's something that Ellen's, working mm-hmm. really hard on doing, is transforming Hawaii into a state that's, or a place that's more blockchain and crypto friendly. We're here to support in any way we can, and to talk about our technology and our project, and what we envision as our global effect, starting here in Hawaii.
So if you had a major kind of goal to meet in 2025, what would that be?
A major goal to meet in 2025. Well, we just had a pretty big one the last couple of days. But I would say, a major goal in 2025 would be, like I said, in 90 days to recommission our biochar facility in Kauai High.
Right, right.
With Ag Energy Hawaii, and to begin deploying biochar, so we can begin storing it in the ground. I think that's baby steps. That's kind of where we're going right now.
Yeah, no, exciting stuff. I mean, actual tactical deployment of company assets creating, biochar. Now, it's great to hear you guys are going to be around for the August 12th Stand With Crypto. You're going to be around for September 12th at the Pacific Blockchain Summit. So I think there's people can get to know Malama Carbon a lot better in person. Where can people find more information about Malama Carbon?
Paul? You can find us at malamacarbon.com.
Very good, very good. Paul Apau is the Chief Strategy Officer. Dominique Gary is the Chief Technology Officer at Malama Carbon. Hey guys, I want to thank you for joining me today.
Yeah, thank you, Bert.
And thank you for listening to Bite Mars Cafe. Join us next week when we'll talk about the 2025 Honolulu Tech Week. If you missed any part of this edition, you can find the podcast of tonight's show on bitemarkscafe.org. Our engineer is David Chong. You can catch us on HPR One every Friday or anytime via the HPR app or your favorite podcast application. In the meantime, you stay safe, you stay awesome. We'll see you next week on another edition of Bite Marks Cafe.